What's up? It's your boy Chuck. I was a member of the Garrison Squad, but now I'm just here. And got my co-host.
It's your girl Mikasa checking in, your resident badass. And also go by Nico Robin, also go by Ayana. And today you are listening to Black on Time.
Yeah, so it has been quite a long time since we came to the climax of last season. Now we're back. That feels great. And to help welcome us back, we have a friend of the pod, got our man, Corey.
Oh, Corey, what do you go by? What's your alias?
Right, like...
I mean, I don't got no alias, man. I'm just Corey, man. So, you know what I'm saying? I ain't got no affiliation in this. I'm just Corey. Awesome. You know, I'm known as All Hell Nah, mostly. But.
Yes, he's our resident Twitter terrorist.
So, we're going to get to know him real quick, and then we're going to get into the episode.
Okay. So, what qualifies you to speak about anime?
I'm really an avid watcher of it. Like, I'm watching something every week, either to do. If it's ongoing, I just like the art medium. Been watching it since forever. You know, we all about started the Toonami days. So since basically then.
Okay. And so what animes are you watching right now?
Right now, I'm currently finishing another run through of Vivi. It's a nice short series. I'm watching World Trigger right now, the third season and come back. They be off and on a lot. I've been watching a lot in the Index series. I'm trying to finish up Accelerator. And I just got a whole bunch. And I'm on Platinum Man 2 is another one I'm going to start next week.
Okay, you were definitely a fishy. What you say?
Got a list. So out of those, like, what are you really enjoying most?
Vivi is really good. It's by one of my favorite anime studios, Wit. I actually used to anime Attack on Titan, but it has really good fluid animation and a good premise. So I advise people to check it out.
Okay. And AOT specifically, who's your favorite character thus far?
AOT, right now, my favorite character is probably Armin.
Okay.
He done bossed up. It's good to see that.
That's true.
A little crying the riches story, you know what I'm saying?
Fair. That's fair.
That is fair. Mm-hmm. And what was your favorite moment of the series so far?
My favorite moment of the series, I still don't think has ever been top. Just going over everything I've seen, is just when Reiner revealed he and Berthold were Titans. Like, you just couldn't beat that. Like, the pacing, the scene, just everything just came to a standstill. Then you realize what he's saying, and you're like, oh, snap, by that time, it's action
happening. I agree with you on that one, because it definitely just changed how I watched the show from that point, because I was like, wait, what?
And I said, yeah, I was going to agree with her. That's like one of the turning points, like, hold up, wait, what? They've been here the whole time? And then you start questioning everything after that.
Yeah. Changed the whole perspective of the show. I felt lied to, bamboozled.
No, I did. Because I'm just like, we're watching a whole different show now. And our last question is, what is the most overrated anime that you watch?
Most overrated anime that I've ever watched. It's a hard one. Because I'm one of the people, I'll drop an anime if I don't like it. Like, I have no problem with not finishing.
Okay.
Don't guess to see.
All right. I know there's people who like this one. It feels cliche to say. I still think it's One Piece until I get an ending.
Okay.
I can see that.
I still keep up with it and all that, but it's until I get an ending, it's just you just going on for the sake of going on. And it's good. I appreciate them. Especially last 3 years, the animation finally caught up to where everyone else was doing, because it used to be. I was just like, why are you still animating in 2012? It's 2018.
I'm still trying to catch up.
Where are you in One Piece right now? Just got
I just left Fishman Island, I think. Big Mom. Luffy just challenged Big Mom.
Oh, okay. Okay. That's an exciting one.
Yeah. I'm enjoying it. But so we're gonna talk through this show. We're going to talk about the anime, because, you know, we're anime-only podcast, but we do want y'all to know that we're going to start discussing manga just a little bit more. So, like, with all of that, I know that we hinted that we might read the mangas to the end of Attack on Titan, but we have gotten into some other manga recently, which has kind of changed a whole different perspective on how the anime and the manga works together, because the written stories are a lot different than the animated ones, I would say.
I agree with that. It's a different pacing.
Yeah, just because, like, as I'm caught up on One Piece now, and it's kind of, I don't want to say annoying, but it kind of is annoying, like waiting 2 weeks for, you know, them be on break, and then a week, and then you gotta wait next week and stuff like that. But even, I just feel like anime just has a different feel, just because, like, reading the manga for Attack on Titan and then watching the episode is just, I don't know, I don't think it compares.
I definitely do think that I prefer the animated versions of even of everything. Because, like, even reading My Hero, it kind of, like, I'm so far ahead of where the anime is in the manga, but it just makes me more excited because visually they don't match, but, like, it kind of gives you a different feel for the characters.
Yeah. I agree.
Oh, yeah. And then, let's see, yeah, the seasonal pacing of anime, too, because you know you're going to have at least a starting point, and then, like, it's going to end in so many episodes, you know. They have to at least make it conclusive. The manga, you know, they just striving off if I got next week to finish it or not. So that's why I feel like the pace is much different.
Yeah, for sure. But y'all ready to get into this episode?
Get to the meat and potato.
The episode starts off with, it kind of was eerie because it started off and you only hear the rain. And I thought that was really cool. But then we see Hanji, you know, assessing Levi and his condition. And I have never seen my man down so bad. But, you know, he will prevail. I know it. And, you know, we turn around and we see that Flock and the Jaegerist are still present. And, it, you know, like, seeing that moment with Hanji and Levi, you kind of forgot what was going on before all of this happened. And then Flock, still a bitch, wanted to see Levi.
So quickly.
You said what?
He reminds you he's a bitch so quickly.
Yeah, it immediately came straight out. He didn't wait a second.
But yeah, so Flock is like, I can take a pulse. Like, he a doctor, and he, you know, luckily, Zeke and the Titan that, you know, was on the ground distracted them, and they got into position because they're thinking that what's going on with this Titan. I mean, obviously, these people are just not smart, because they were like, oh, it's vanishing, and Hanji's like, no, that's not what happens when Titans die, you know, and it's just like, is she the only person that knows how to do her job?
See, but, I'm sorry, but that moment right there, I was like, they really weren't being scouts this whole time. Like, even before they figured out all this Eren stuff, because scout 101, you should know what a dying or a dead Titan looks like if you're out here killing them all day. But none of these dudes knew what was going on. I was just like, nah.
Most of them ran for combat. They ain't even trying to fight the Titan yet. It's like, you knew they was just like, nah, I ain't cut out, because I'm gonna say I saw one and just leave.
See, that's exactly what Flock did. That's how he survived. You're right.
Yeah. And, you know, it's kind of, well, I was going to note that later on in the episode, you can tell, like, these people, like, them and they ODM gear, like, yes. They just own it. Like, how Mikasa and Armin and them just be on it. And I'm just like, y'all was really just playing dress up.
Nah, they were. But what I really did like about the way that this opened was it pretty much opened exactly as the same way as the last episode, the final episode for the first half of the season. It opened the exact same way, except it was just on the other side. Like, you know how, like, the last episode, they was, like, checking in on Zeke and all that stuff. And then, like, all of their attention was focused towards Levi. And then, of course, and for different reasons, a Titan comes and just throws the whole focus off. I just thought that was pretty cool how they did that artistically.
Yeah, they're definitely a great studio. I'll give them that for sure. But yeah, so Flock, you know, is trying to figure out what's going on. And then we see that Zeke is actually coming out of this Titan. And, you know, Flock is so excited to see Zeke. And that is when Hanji was able to escape with Levi. And they started shooting at the water. Dumb. And then Zeke discusses, you know, because they're like, what happened? How did you get to what you was doing? And Zeke couldn't even really remember, you know, what was happening beforehand, but he knew that he was in this place called the past. And we can see the Foundry Mirror repairing his body and putting him back together. And then Zeke informs Flock and the other scouts that all the Titans that were with Levi are dead. And so, you know, he's like, we can move forward. And then cue the opening, which was fire.
Yeah, that opening title sequence, it kind of gave, like, what I like most about it is how they matched the music up to the different scenes that they picked. Like, there's one point where it's rocking out and they just match the yell to the yells. But how it's going through and it's following Aaron, and we juxtapose it to the end scene, which we'll get to, but how it's just like Aaron remembering all of these different things, which I kind of think relates to what everything Zeke was just talking about. But it was kind of just cool to see how the music and the memories or whatever that Aaron is going through matches up.
My bad. I was just saying the openings. I don't know, in the previous ones, I don't know if anything stood out to y'all, because, like, the previous ones, you know, they low-key leaked some story stuff inside the openings, like, since the beginning. So I don't know if anything stood out to y'all in the opening. Because I started watching that one closely, because I just remember, like, oh, yeah, I remember second opening was giving out all the information, what was going on in the basement, everything. So I didn't know if anything stood out to y'all, particularly about the opening.
There, for me, the only things that really stood out is that there was kind of some scenes, like, where how it kept bouncing back from them being kids to adult Aaron, which kind of that flat circle thing that they've been kind of hinting at and talking about for the last couple of seasons. That was the biggest thing to me.
Yeah, I was just really listening to the music and not paying as close attention to, like, you know, the matchup stuff, because I was just like, oh, this is a new opening song. And I was listening to that more so because I'm like, do I like this song? And then as it went on, I was like, okay, because it had a lot of different elements in the actual music, and I really enjoyed that, because I feel like the last season song was a little dramatic, and it was very, like, it felt like very, like, we were in a war, and I felt like the music matched that. And so this music was kind of, I want to say, more, it just made me feel better, I'll say that.
Music important too, so.
I did like the music. I seen that the name of the music, the name of the song, was called Rumbling, so I thought that was kind of cute with how the rumbling has been the, you know, is it going to happen since like a season and a half now?
Right. But I did notice that rumbling part. I laughed.
Yeah, everyone was like, okay.
What'd you say?
A little thick with her on there. No, I say everyone was like, the whole rumbling part, everyone's like, all right, you laying on a little thick.
Right. Definitely. But I mean, if you've read the manga, then yeah, we'll leave it at that. But yes, so after that great opening, we go to Aaron and Porco and Peek and Gabby. And I know everybody is on the Gabby hate train. And yeah,
she's doing her job.
Man,
somebody has to be the villain.
Fuck them kids.
Yeah, she's definitely taking on her villain role. But I mean, I guess she's still a kid, if you look at it. But we enter Aaron wreaking havoc, and everyone in the prison starts to hear, underground prison starts to hear. And then Porco and Peek are still protecting Gabby, as we see. And then we see Marley's giant blimps coming through to the rescue, and McGav making plans to get the founding Titan. And Porco and Aaron start fighting as the Marley soldiers start falling from the sky with their heavy artillery. And Porco cuts Peek's hand off, which, I mean, I guess that's smart thinking. And after that, Peek comes back for Gabby and they run away together. And then Yelena is like begging Aaron to leave, to go underground, to go meet Zeke. And Aaron, who doesn't listen to anyone, of course, said fuck you and left to go tussle with Reiner, who actually Reiner has lost to on multiple occasions at this point. So I really don't know why he thought he was about to do something, but yeah.
See, and when Yelena was begging him to stay and he just looked at her like, bitch, please. Like, it was at that moment. I was like, Aaron's still my goat. I can still mess with this guy because he been about that action and he still got it in him. Like, ooh-wee.
Yeah, since the time skip, you know, so he got that resolve now. He's just, I know what I'm doing. Y'all do what y'all do, but hey, I'm still going on.
Right.
I thought it was also kind of funny how when Reiner was coming down and then he showed Aaron his hand like, oh yeah, let's get it on. And Aaron's like, boy, only you could convince Marley to do something this stupid. Like, you're not going to foil my plans.
And that's the problem. Like, Aaron has his own plans and no one seems to, I mean, I think his friends know, but it's like, y'all think what y'all think is about to happen is not gonna happen because Aaron don't care.
He above everybody. He's like, man, listen, it's cute. Y'all keep coming at me, but y'all just wasting my time.
And from Aaron's point of view, really, no one has any leverage over him. So, I mean, why does he have to listen to other people?
I mean, if you had what he got three Titans at this point. He probably has the most fire titan of all in the Warhammer. He has no reason to listen to anybody.
He's like, I got all the attack. I got all the titans that can really fight and scrap. Like what y'all gonna talk to?
Yeah, it's kind of cool to see.
And also how McGaff was calling Reiner the Shield. And I'm like, if anybody's the Shield, it is Aaron with the Warhammer Titan powers. But I'm like, Reiner's armored body has been destroyed on multiple occasions. Like, how
multiple? See, but while they was out there tussling and everything like that, I did think that it was really cool to see Aaron start to kick Reiner's ass again. So we know that nothing's really changed. And Aaron versus Reiner part, whatever you want to call it, it was pretty steady. But then after that, we kind of cut to where, you know, the Stallion Titan done her thing, and she done set up Marley's comeback, per se, after getting everybody destroyed and everybody wiped out. And she we already know she's infiltrated Parody, and she's already sent a message, and now Reiner and them are coming for backup. But she delivers Peak. I mean, she delivers, Peak delivers Gabby, because she still cares about her. Wish she'd get it through her head too. But it was really nice to see that Maggot really did care about Gabby, because he was like, what were you doing behind enemy lines? And like, why were you doing all of this? But that was really nice to see how they started to piece everything together related to the Titans and what Aaron had planned, or at least what they think he has planned. They find out about Zeke having royal blood. They find out about how many soldiers are involved and how many soldiers the Jaegerus have. And then they also find out about Falco.
Falco.
Is that Rocky in that show?
No, for real. Falco. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they keep on. They find out about Falco swallowing the wine. So it kind of was more of like a, oh, let's get ready to take the Jaegerus down. Let's get ready to save the world. And that's not really what they are going to do, I don't think. But they did find out everything about Zeke, and now they can kind of plan better for moving forward and what they're going to have to do next.
And Pete got some new mech.
Oh my gosh.
Maybe they dripping Pete out.
She's the only one that's worth the damn on that thing.
Damn near though, for real.
Like Pete, she bout it.
But she has a tactician mind, I think. Like, she's just very good with the tactical stuff. Like the other guys are just like, you know, meatheads. But yeah,
play to your strengths. She like, hey, I got the mobility. I'm Gucci.
Mm-hmm. But she got on that on top of the wall really quick.
Oh yeah. She was outie.
But yeah, so after that happened, while the guys are tussling, and then it becomes a 2-versus-1 fight with the Jaw Titan and the Armor Titan both fighting Aaron. And Reiner tells Aaron that he's not so great by himself. And I'm like, you're not either, though. And then Aaron pikes both them with his Warhammer Titan powers. And then as the Jaegerus think that they're coming to, you know, help Aaron, they realize that, you know, they're outclassed in regards to military warfare. And so the Marlian soldiers are already in position, ready to take down the Jaegerus who have the ODM gear on. And when I say they get clipped, oh, it's not pretty at all. And so after that, Reiner keeps telling Aaron that it's time to stop. And it's just really interesting to me, because I feel like Reiner was trying to convince Aaron, because he really didn't want to keep fighting. And I mean, after the situation in Marley, after the situation in Parody, before he got to Marley, I can understand why he didn't want to fight Aaron, but I feel like he was more so saying that for himself. And, you know, you don't have to do this, Aaron. It's over, Aaron. You know, just let it go and all that stuff. And so, I don't know. Writers just very weird to me.
Yeah. Reiner definitely has his mental issues, as we've seen, where he, you know, probably should have done us all a favor. But he is really dealing with some stuff, and it's not cute that he keeps abusing himself by trying to get beat up, because he was not winning that fight. Like, it's funny when you said that he said Aaron's not good by himself, but Aaron has literally done all of this by himself, whereas Reiner couldn't beat Aaron when it was 2-on-1, when he had what's that other bitch at Berthold, when Berthold was helping him out. Like, there was never any point in time when Reiner has the upper hand.
Yeah, definitely not. And I just, because I even wrote that in my notes, I'm like, Reiner, you the one that's always on the rope. So what's the truth?
Man, he really ain't got no resolve. It's just ironic he got the whole armor tight situation going on, and he the weakest one.
Yeah.
I think I said that originally. Like, when Aaron beat him the first time, I'm like, okay, but you're supposed to be the armor type. I really thought that, you know, you were going to take this, but I don't know.
Yeah. All right. So after we get the flashes with Aaron and Reiner going back and forth and fighting, and Aaron, and then, but in the midst of all that, we get, before all that ends, we get Peek changing up the game with her new gear, and she's pretty much taking Aaron out after he done fought off Porco and Reiner. Like, I don't know, well, I mean, I do know, because they explained it to us literally, but I don't know what they have in those bullets to defeat the Founding Titan, but Peek was on point. Like, she got straight through that man's head with her new gear. So we get all of that, and Onya Capone sees what's going on, and he sees that the battle is about to change. Like, there is little hope for their side of things to make through this. So while Yelena's having an existential crisis, just knowing that Aaron is different, Onya Capone decides to take things into his own hands. And he goes down and he starts talking to the OG scouts, you know, Jean, Casa, Armin, Connie. And when he gets to talking about, hey, can y'all come help? Connie's like, no, I'm not hearing any more of it. You're a traitor. Just like Reiner, just like Berthold, just like Annie. And Connie is completely over everything that Onya Capone has to talk about, because he's seen so much betrayal. So he does not feel like helping Aaron out at all. He doesn't want to hear anything Onya Capone has to say. But then Armin, being the level-headed voice of reason, says, hey, you know, let's hear him. Let's see what he has to talk about a little bit. So Onya Capone lays out the entire plan that he had. He didn't know about the euthanization or the wine or anything like that. But once he found out, if he would have said something, then we remember how Yelena just doesn't really care about killing people on either side if they don't see with her vision. And he did not want to be another bullet through the head. So he pretty much tries to convince the scouts that he's on their side, and he wants to see the Titans or the parody folk, kind of the subject of the mirror. He wants to see them flourish alongside everybody else. So he didn't really want everybody to be euthanized and everything. So Armin comes around, and Armin's like, yeah, I believe it. Because he quotes him something that Onya Capone said about being the world being more interesting with a lot of different people. So he said, yeah, I kind of believe you. And I think that scene that he's quoting from was when they were on the blimp after they saved him originally.
No, but, I remember
him
and Sasha asking why he was black.
Yeah, right. That was that. Yeah. That was a funny scene too. May she rest in peace. But that kind of transformative. So should we really support Aaron? Should we really be on his side? And Armin thinks that they should, because he doesn't think that anything that they're planning is what Aaron's actually planning, because he actually knows his friend. He actually knows how Aaron thinks. And they're just going back and forth. And that's when he asks Mikasa, what does she think? And how does she feel about it? Because if Mikasa says something, then everybody else in the room is going to listen. But Mikasa's kind of struggling with her own thing from the fallout of Aaron talking dirty to her. So she's questioning herself. She's questioning if she really wants to help him out or if that's just what she's programmed to do because she's an Ackerman. So they are all going back and forth. And then they kind of hint that they agree to support him because he has to be planning something else. And going along with Yelena is really the only way that he could achieve his goals. And then after that, we cut back to the Jaegers getting ran up through like somebody's house by Megan Thee Stallion. Because it's not looking pretty for them. There's just dead bodies everywhere. So it was really, this is one of the bloodier animes that I see, that I've seen. So really, it was like, wow. And then the episode ends.
Yeah. Corey, I was telling Chuck earlier that it's funny that I've been watching animes that I guess people don't die. Or they don't, you know, they get beat up really badly, but they ain't never dead. And I was like, oh, we're back to my origins, and I forgot that people be dying in this show. For real, for real. And yeah.
Yes, anime with like stakes. You'd be like, oh, hold up, wait a minute. He not coming back in his art. Like, if that body, they confirm it, they not coming back.
Attack on Titan does not care about bodies. So.
What did y'all think of the, my bad.
No, you go ahead.
What y'all think of the ending title sequence while we're talking about music and things like that? Because this one was also different. I actually like the ending music a little bit better than the beginning.
I'm the opposite. I usually don't watch ending title music. I'm just like, all right, it's over.
See you next week.
Yeah, I'm like, because that's usually the slower, more melodic. You know, they got the singers on this one. You know, I'm like, all right, I already came what I got for. I don't need the lullabies and serenades.
It didn't stick out to me as much as the opening sequence did.
Yeah, I can see that too. Did y'all see the preview for next week?
I don't know. I mean, I know what's going to happen next week, so I don't think I'll watch the preview.
Man, it looks like more of the same, but it has me looking forward to what happens next week. Because, like, you just see Yelena with her Jesus Christ poses, all these, like...
Oh, yeah, okay. Because that's in the month, too.
Yeah. But while we're talking what's in the manga too, you want to get into some of the differences between the manga and the anime this week?
Yeah, so we want to start talking about the differences in the manga as opposed to the episode of the week. So this episode's manga content was on chapter 117 and 118, but it was mostly 117. And
almost panel for panel.
Yeah, it really was. But you know, the end of 117 was not in this episode. And so the differences that I saw that were obvious is what in the beginning of this episode, you know, they started off with Armin and them in the basement, and you could see like their, I guess, fear of, you know, what's going on upstairs. But in the manga, they showed Pixis and Falco as well in the prison. And I don't remember that in the same sequence at the beginning of the show for this episode.
I think they showed that last episode.
Okay. Okay. Well, okay. And then it looks like McGath said in the manga, like, it was 100 years of hatred between, like, the Eldians and the Marlians. But then, like, in the anime, it had 2,000. And then, just a disclaimer, I might have just, I found this on the internet, so it might have just been, like, some early scans, possibly. But then Reiner, when he told Aaron that he can't do anything anymore, that was when he actually pierced Reiner and Jaw Titan up to get, like, piece them up as the Warhammer Titan. So I was like, okay, I like how they did that in the manga. And they also did not include the scene with the OG Titans and Onyonkapon. That is in actually chapter 118. So those were the main differences that I saw.
Yeah. I didn't really see anything else different between the two. It was mainly just for me how, because yes, the anime is very emotional, like especially like when Aaron was getting shot through the head, I was like, dang, they really like, they got it. Because, you know, walking into the situation, it really feels like there's, like going into the situation, you're like, oh yeah, Aaron about to wreck Reiner again. Porco, he's really a non-factor. And then you don't really forget about Pete, because I mean, she is the Stallion Titan, but she like kind of came out of nowhere. Like you see her getting ready and whatnot, but she wasn't at the forefront of your mind until you see that shot. And Aaron's like Aaron, he's pretty much won the fight at this point, at least with the other two Titans, but you see that shot and just the emotion that felt. Well, I was reading the manga and it's like not knowing what's going to happen next. And just in the anime, it kind of feels like there's more hope for Aaron. Whereas when I was reading the manga, I didn't really feel that.
I agree with that point. That's a good point. The anime is more lighter on Aaron. It just felt more darker and brewing in the manga. Mostly manga differences when I see stuff adapted, usually in dialogue. And I think they did a really good job, especially with Connie and Big O going against, talking to each other, talking about the plans and all that. They did that really good. Like Connie running up, moving weapons out the way, about to hem that boy up and stuff. So I was really impressed with how they really got good dialogue, made us intense. Like you really felt like the dude didn't know. You really felt like Connie gonna beat his ass. And so I was impressed by this episode, just adapting two chapters like that, one and a half. But
yeah, I was definitely like shook when Connie came out. I was like, oh my God, not Connie.
Oh man, I mean, I kind of get it. Connie been over it for a minute,
mm-hmm. Especially after Sasha. So it was just like,
this is last hope.
Man went straight off the deep end. But we definitely recommend, if you're not going to read the rest of the manga, at least read it by the week, because at this point, you're not spoiling anything for yourself, but it does give you a different look at it, you know? Mm-hmm. So, want to get into the Titan of the week to finish out the episode.
Okay, so who was your favorite Titan this week?
Well, for me, and I mean, she's my favorite Titan anytime I commission her, Pete, aka the Stallion Titan, the way she came through, even though she rescued Gabby, even though she's fighting for the wrong side. Just her conviction in it with, to borrow a word, just her conviction with it to know that she can rely on the people that she fought with, like she don't really trust Marley. And then for her to set all this up and get the equipment when she starts sniping off the wall, I just love it. Like, that was my entire kudos to her, because without her, Reiner and Porco would have both been dead. So,
Corey. My tight end of the week is going to Aaron. I like a good beat down, and I like when people condescending with it. You know, he talking to Miss, like, Reiner, you know how pointless this is. Why are we doing this? Like, I love seeing that in scenes, just like when somebody's strong and they're not scared to be strong. So, and then Aaron was doing his job, handling what he had to do. So, of course, you know, Pete put him in that pinch, but they thought they still got out. He was still using the Warhammer types, throw some spikes out on folks. So I'm still giving it to my boy, Big Jaeger.
Okay. Well, I actually like both of your answers, because it was hard for me to decide, because I think both of them had their strengths. But I think I'm going to side with Aaron this week, just because, you know, he did handle his own against basically three Titans. And, you know, I think that did take a lot of strength, mental strength, just to be able to, like, yeah, I'm going to go up against the people who obviously, like, you know, the Jaw Titan can break through the Warhammer Titan armor. And then, you know, Reiner is being beef. And then Peak, you know, she's just really good at being a Titan. And so I think that, you know, we should give it up to Aaron this week for, you know, holding his own and doing what he said he was going to do. Regardless if, you know, Yelena really wanted him to be with Zeke and stuff like that. But I think Aaron was my Titan of the week.
I definitely. I will gleefully accept being outvoted on the Titan of the week. Because Aaron, he was about that business. And I got to give it up.
Definitely. But I am excited for the next episode. And before, just a little sidebar, before the season came back, I read that manga, and I kind of was just like, whatever. Like, you know, I wasn't as excited for this new season to come back, because I'm just like, I already know what's going to happen. But after watching this episode, it kind of reinvigorated me. And I don't know if that's kudos to the animation team, but I'm just like, okay, I'm ready for next week now.
Yeah, I allegedly read the manga too. I kind of Men in Black mind wiped myself for a large part of it, but it really was, this episode really did make me feel better about how everything's going to end than it did when I might have or might not have read the manga.
Definitely a second. There's definitely plenty of materials. I think the season's, 12 episodes still, so there's still plenty to see in those, all the rest of the time we got left.
But then I heard somebody say something about it's still not going to finish after the 16 episodes. Like, someone said it was going to be a movie. And I'm like, look.
Yeah, I heard they're trying to cash in and might do the end of the movie, which I think is dumb, but hey.
Yeah.
Nah, I remember they were talking about they were going to do a movie to finish, like, this part, this season that they're doing. They're talking about doing a movie or whatever like that. And if they would have put these 12 episodes into a movie, it would have just been too much. So if they try to do what might be the ending, from what I remember of it, that just wouldn't be executed right. So they don't need to do that.
I just feel like it would be bad.
Yeah, especially just knowing up front, like, okay, this you telling me this is the final season, but it's not the final thing of the story. So I got to go out and find a means of watching the movie. So.
Yeah, especially if it's not released in, you know, Western countries at the same time as it would be released in Japan. So it would defeat the purpose to me.
Yeah.
That's one thing manga and anime, they do not care what's happening over here. They say, we going on our stage. I salute that.
Well, I agree with you in that regard. I mean,
I do love that.
Demon Slayer, you know, the Demon Slayer movie did numbers. Like, I think it's one of the top animated movies, period. Like, not just anime, but like animated movies. It's one of the top grossing movies. So, I mean, I guess the market is there. You know, people go out and watch it. Because even though Demon Slayer was a movie, you know, the manga was still really available for people to read and stuff. So, I don't know.
I think the movie would do numbers. It's a big enough Western. I think it's a bigger Western audience than when Demon Slayer had their movie. Mm-hmm. So I think that it's gonna break the records, at least over here.
Demon
Slayer also has top tier animation. Like, that's what actually made me watch Demon Slayer, because of how beautifully it was animated.
So give UFO tables. Ooh.
Yeah, they're good. But I think that concludes this episode. Well, you know, our discussion on Attack on Titan.
Yeah. Corey, have anything you want to plug? Socials? Well, where can they find you, first off? And then anything else you want to plug?
You can find me on most social sites under the same alias. Oh, hell no. I just be bullshitting at work on Twitter. So that's most my thing. I'm on Instagram, but I only post occasionally. I ain't no big grammar. And that's really about it. I ain't got nothing to plug. Look at my pinned tweet. You want to buy something from my registry? You know what I'm saying? I appreciate it. But other than that, stay black, stay safe.
We'll put it in the description below as well. And you can find me. Well, I'll go last because I have a couple of things to plug.
You can find me on socials at the handle of Chuck_Mate_. I ain't got nothing else to plug right now, but if you find me there, you can find me anywhere.
And you can find me on Twitter at Prima Yana. And you can also find me on my other podcast with one of my beautiful friends called Kind of Complicated. And you can find us on Google, Anchor, Apple, and Spotify right now. We just released our first episode last week. So please find me over there. We talk about women being in their 30s, being Black, and, you know, just trying to navigate through life. So that's going to be fun. So you can follow me over there at the Kind of Complicated Podcast. It's also on Instagram. If you want to see some little teasers, we got that on there too. So, yeah.
Make sure that you go listen to Kind of Complicated. Make sure that you rate and review and subscribe to Black on Titan. Mm-hmm. And
you can find us by email. Also, if you want to send us some questions or something, at Black on Titan Podcast at gmail.com. And we'll also put that in the description.
Black on Titan, AOT, at gmail.com.
Yeah, I couldn't remember the process in the description.
But yeah, it's been really cool. Thank you for coming on, Corey. We'll see y'all next week.
Peace.